Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And it is a good Wednesday evening. Yes, Wednesday, although it feels like a Tuesday on our short four-day week. Thank you for joining us. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Andre Holgate. On today's program, Michigan U.S. Congressman Thaddeus McCotter in the middle of a political mess, not getting his name on the August primary ballot. And that may be only the beginning of his trouble. We'll talk about what happened and if he now has any chance of being reelected. And if you're delaying your retirement because of the Great Recession, you may be able to do what's called a phased retirement. Meant to lighten the workload, I'll be joined by retirement experts to explain. But first, are Michigan teachers doing a good job, and do some of the skills that they have need improving? The truth is that it's not really known, which is leading for plans to develop a structured evaluation system in the state that will give a clear indication of just how effective each teacher is. Heading the group in charge of the effort is Deborah Ball, the dean of the University of Michigan School of Education and the chair of the Michigan Council for Educator Effectiveness. She joins us now. Deborah, thank you very much for joining us here on 1320 WILS.
My pleasure.
So what is your educated guess? What percentage of teachers in Michigan right now are not performing in an adequate manner and are simply not effective educators?
That's a difficult question to answer because teachers aren't just uniformly effective or ineffective. It has everything to do with, you know, the class that they have, the students they're teaching, the subject matter they have. And so the evaluation system is designed to help provide better information back to teachers and to their schools about ways in which their performance with particular kids in particular classes could be improved to help students learn. It's not an absolute teachers are ineffective or effective.
Now, when it comes to evaluating teachers, I know a part of that is observing them in the classroom. How is that going to work exactly, and what kind of things are going to be looked for when observing teachers?
Yeah, so one of the key components is to provide guidelines for principals and others who would be going into classrooms to observe teachers to provide feedback on their performance. And as you can imagine, that requires a kind of structured protocol to help someone watch teaching carefully. If you can imagine something like a tennis pro coaching someone learning to play tennis, they too have to have very structured things they pay attention to about the serve, about the motion, and about all the things that the tennis player is doing. And the same thing is true of teaching. So what we're looking for are the protocols that are available nationally that can do the best job of providing fair and good guidance to those people who observe teachers so that they're paying attention to just the right things that can provide good feedback to teachers on their work.
Well, if you're watching a teacher in a classroom, what kind of behavior and what kind of things are you looking for that makes you think, wow, that teacher's really doing a great job?
Yeah, you're looking for things that have to do with the teacher's capacity to make the content understandable by students. So that includes everything from the way the teacher uses the board space or other technology to demonstrate examples for students, to the way the teacher poses questions, the way the teacher is able to listen to what students say and respond. If it's a band class, the way the teacher is able to get the group of students to listen to one another and to make music together. So it's very subject dependent, and yet at the same time, there are some things that are central about the teacher's capacity to get the children to do the learning that they're assigned to be helping them to do.
Now, how much would you say is the learning, the actual learning aspect of the classroom, is the teacher's responsibility versus the student's responsibility? I mean, is it enough to just say a teacher should be effectively presenting the material, but they can't really make a student learn?
Well, obviously, that's a good point, and students are the ones who do the learning. Teachers can't learn for students. On the other hand, the mark and hallmark of really effective teaching is someone who's able to teach students how to learn well, to create the incentives for them to work on the right things that help them to improve and to engage them in the material. And so it isn't enough for a teacher to simply present material and leave the rest to the students. Part of the important role of the teacher is to help students learn how to be very productive learners in school.
I'm talking to Deborah Ball, the dean of the University of Michigan School of Education and chair of the Michigan Council for Educator Effectiveness. And the idea is to bring in an evaluation system into the state to clearly understand how well teachers are doing. What about, Deborah, the performance of students? I mean, do you think that that should be a big factor in evaluating a teacher, how students themselves are able to perform on tests?
Well, unquestionably, the purpose of teaching is to help students learn. So I was an elementary school teacher in Michigan for a long time, and the point of my work in my classroom was to help my students learn a host of subjects, like all elementary teachers. And so the mark of my ability to do well depended on my students' growth across the year. One of the problems is that that's not such an easy thing to measure. And so one of the important parts of what the Michigan Council is working on is piloting different methods for trying to estimate in a class of 20 or 30 or 35 students how you measure what individual students are learning and how you can then aggregate that to see how the teacher's work is affecting the students in her or his classroom's learning across a year.
I mean, it seems like a lot of very potentially subjective things. I mean, how do you really get down to a clear evaluation that's not just a matter of one person's opinion over another's?
Well, precisely. And one of the things that we're concerned about is that, on one hand, we think that teachers will do better by having really fair and focused feedback that's detailed on their work, in the same way that professionals in other fields get that kind of guidance and people in the business community get that kind of guidance. Teaching often has lacked that kind of careful feedback, but you're completely right that done badly, this could be very dangerous because it could be a matter just of someone's opinion. And so the Michigan Council, as you probably know, has proposed that the state operate a brief pilot during the next school year of a set of the best tools available and the best methods for studying student learning, and then from that be able to analyze which ones work in the most fair and transparent way and are also the most feasible to implement across the state. And we think this is crucial because without such a pilot, we might end up recommending something that would actually end up being reckless and not helpful for improving students' opportunities to learn or teachers' work in the state.
What about right now? Would you say at this point in time there is no real evaluation system that clearly tells us if teachers are doing a good job or failing?
There hasn't been historically a system for providing teachers with feedback. There certainly are schools and principals and districts that have gone way out trying to develop this on their own. But as a state and as a country, this isn't something that we've done. And we've paid a price for it because, in fact, what students get in school is quite uneven because we haven't built up a way to help teachers know whether they're doing a good job in the specific areas in which they could work to improve their work. Most teachers are out there because they care about students and want to do work. So a system that provide really good feedback on their work was something that teachers would welcome.
What about enthusiasm? I mean, you have a teacher that has been teaching the same subject for 10, 20 years. I mean, isn't there a level of a lack of enthusiasm that kind of sets in after a while?
It's possible, but it's really someone who's taught for a long time has a great repertoire of the examples that help children learn, of the ways you motivate students, of the kind of homework assignments that students will actually do, of ways to test well, of how to hold a discussion in class. So teaching is something one can improve from experience. It doesn't automatically happen, but there's no reason to believe that people who have been teaching a long time are bored with their work. They, in fact, are probably arriving at levels of skill that beginning teachers can't quite manage.
You know, critics of the current system point out the fact that it's incredibly hard not only to identify but to remove teachers that are not performing up to par. What are your thoughts about that, about teachers? I mean, can you tell when you've got students coming out of school, graduating from the School of Education, do you have a sense of which ones are likely not to be as successful as others?
Well, we don't send people out who we think are not going to be successful. We think that's an important part of our role in helping to prepare good beginners for the teaching workforce. But on the other hand, I don't think the biggest problem is that we have lots of teachers out there who need to be dismissed. I think the conversation gets very distracted by that. I think, in fact, what we have is a weak system for helping teachers to improve their work, and that by far most teachers are out there working hard at very difficult jobs that many people don't understand how hard it can be to get, you know, 30 or 40 kids to actually be figuratively on the same page and making headway. So I don't think the biggest problem is getting rid of teachers. And frankly, we're not going to fire our way to the top in this country by getting rid of teachers. It's a huge workforce. And the most important thing we can do is to build a system to improve the quality of what the teaching is that's going on in our schools. And that's something that all of us want and the teachers themselves want.
When you see the level of teaching that's occurring here in the state right now, where do you think in general the focus should be when it comes to improving the teaching skills that the teachers now have?
Well, to begin with, teachers need, as I've been mentioning several times, much better feedback on how the things that they're trying to do with their students are actually producing results for students over time. And that's something that's hard to see. You know, when I teach a lesson on fractions in fifth grade, not that easy for me to tell if next year in sixth grade my students actually have mastered those skills and are continuing to grow. A second thing that we need is more opportunity for very productive kinds of ongoing opportunities for teachers to learn. All other fields, including the skilled trades, professionals and tradespeople have ongoing training. In fact, it's a requirement. And yet in teaching, we've often delivered very weak ongoing training for teachers. And so the second thing we need is really high-quality opportunities for teachers to work on specific skills or specific aspects of their work that the evaluation would reveal. So, you know, we need a stronger system to support this large workforce that can value the work that they're doing and also provide the kinds of opportunities to get better at it over time, like any other field, like hairdressing or plumbing or surgeons or people who drive buses. All of those people we expect to improve over time.
How are the teachers' unions responding to your to what the council is doing and putting an evaluation system in place?
We've had terrific support from the teacher unions in the state, I think for the reasons that I've been saying. I think they've been 100% behind us and have valued the fact that we're proceeding carefully, that we want to build a system that will be fair and transparent and provide useful feedback on the quality of instruction in classrooms. I've been delighted with the support we've gotten, not only from the teacher unions, but from many other organizations around the state who I think do really value the quality of schooling in the state and know that a good, strong educator evaluation system that could contribute to improving education in the state is something that we all want.
There are obviously some very strong and differing opinions when it comes to cyber schools and charter schools. We'll see expansions of these schools here in the state. What is your view? Are these schools of equal quality to the traditional public schools we now have?
They vary terrifically, as you would expect, because what we've been talking about up to this point in this conversation is what goes on inside the classroom between a teacher or teachers and the students, and that's actually where the bottom line is. So you can have a charter school in which there is very, very high quality teaching, but you can just as likely have a charter school where it's not, and the data on charter schools suggests that the variability in charter schools is huge. So by themselves, just saying, well, we're going to have different kinds of schools doesn't guarantee anything different going on in the classroom, and that's actually where the action is for students learning.
And when you talk about continued training for teachers, is that happening now? Wouldn't that involve further investment in our education system?
I think what it would take is to use the resources that we have wisely. So what teachers need are opportunities to look at the content that they're teaching carefully to understand the difficulties that students have and get training and how you overcome some of the struggles that children have. When you have children who are substantially below grade level, how you bring them up quickly and accelerate their learning, how you learn to have a discussion of complex material in a class, really specific teaching skills. And too often, some of the professional development that teachers get doesn't get close enough to their actual work to improve their practice. Imagine if in any other field people got training that wasn't really about their work. They wouldn't get better. And too often professional development hasn't been close enough to that level of the work. And sometimes when it is, it does a great job. And when it doesn't, it just doesn't produce results.
One more question here in Grand Ledge. The kindergarten class coming in is going to be equipped with, at least a group of them will be equipped with iPads. How do you see this kind of technology changing the classroom? I mean, are we going to see a dramatic shift of a teacher's role as students begin working more and more with technology, focusing on the iPads and so on in a classroom?
The iPad certainly provides some opportunities to improve the detail with which teachers can work with their students by the kind of tailored opportunities they provide them. But iPads alone aren't magic any more than pencils or computers or any other technologies that we've had in the past, or smart boards or chalk boards. In the end, it all comes down to the teacher's skill at being able to diagnose what the student needs to learn and be able to work effectively on helping each of the students in his or her classroom grow. iPads could be a resource. They could also actually amount to nothing. It will depend entirely on teaching skill and quality, which is exactly why the effort to build a strong system for supporting the quality of teaching in the state is so important right now.
And in terms of, because I know I brought up teachers that are failing. You said that that we can't fire our way to a successful system. But do you think that there needs to be a clear path of dealing with teachers that are failing, even if it is just a small portion of teachers?
I certainly think that if there are teachers who cannot manage to learn to carry out teaching in ways that help students learn, we need to do everything we can to help them improve. And if they can't improve, then they shouldn't be responsible for children's learning. Children are, after all, the most important resource we have in this country. But I do think that that's not the starting point. The starting point has to be really effective training and improvement-oriented evaluation that can help people do better work. And I'm confident that most of the teachers that people are talking about can do better work with a system that would support that.
Do you think our education system here in the state is moving in the right direction right now?
I'm excited about the fact that Michigan has decided to take such a leadership role. Many states in the union have tried to build these educator evaluation systems, and we've been able to profit by looking at what other states have tried. And I think it's really quite exciting that we're trying to be ambitious about building a system that really could make changes in the quality of what Michigan students are learning. I think it's terrific.
I see. So basically, is that pilot program, is that going to move forward now, or is it still up in the air? I know it's a $6 million program. The governor wants it to be a $4 million program. Would that suffice?
I think that we've heard great support from the governor and from the legislature. I think we're waiting now to hear exactly the level of funding and how we'll design the pilot. It's most important to conduct this pilot study, and we're very, very pleased with the support we've gotten that this is an important next step.
Deborah Ball, Dean of the University of Michigan School of Education, Chair of the Michigan Council for Educator Effectiveness. Deborah, thank you so much for joining us here.
It was great to talk with you. Thanks so much.
When we come back, we're going to talk about our economy here in the state. And, we'll leave it at that. That's next. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.